safe from all harm. I got to see my other sister. She's 78 years old. I had a good time talking with her. Right after I got saved, I witnessed everybody, and they didn't want to hear nothing about God. What a blessing to be able to sit around and talk to them about the Lord now. Amen. We'll talk about a little bit about what the Bible says a father's duties are. Father's duties. And God's a good father. Y'all agree to that, right?
Amen.
God's a good father. He does care. We sing that song, Does Jesus Care? Oh, yes, he does. Amen. He does care. And I thank God for the Lord God being a good father to us. And he sets the example for us. And all the way through the book of Proverbs, the Bible's, Proverbs is a wisdom book. If you want wisdom, how to raise your children, how to love your children, children ought to treat their parents and all that stuff, it's the book of Proverbs. That's why they always say, well, read a proverb a day. We always try to read a proverb a day. It gives you wisdom. We need wisdom in this old world, brother and sister. We need wisdom for sure. We need God's wisdom. And Solomon's writing to his son. And you'll find in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, chapter 10, he says, my son, my son, my son, my son. And Solomon's writing that. And Solomon was David's son. And I preach a message called The Three Chairs. And Solomon, you know, he sat in that first chair for a while with his dad, his father. The Bible says David was a man after God's own heart. And David loved God. Everything was God first in his life, except for when he sinned to Bathsheba, and when he numbered the people. And David loved God so much that when God brought a plague on the nation of Israel, he said, God, these are innocent people. Put it on me and on my family. Put it on me. And he was willing to take it. But David loved God. And Solomon watched his daddy. He watched his daddy grow, you know, as he grew up singing and praising God. Because if you read the book of Psalms, and when you read Psalms, that's David singing to the Lord. And I believe in singing to God. I believe in singing, man. I believe if you don't, you know, people singing all kinds of other songs, they feel sorry for themselves. And you sing country songs and all that stuff, you sing, feel sorry. And you sing rock songs, you want to go out and do something wrong. And rap, you know, that crap and all that kind of other stuff. And you listen to that junk, and it'll mess your mind up. But you sing songs about God, it'll help you out. It'll straighten out your mind. And like old preacher used to say, it'll straighten out the kinks in your head. And it'll straighten you out. And it's talking about inside your head. But Proverbs chapter 1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instructions of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. We all need discretion. We need knowledge. I know the Bible says knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. But talking about knowledge in this world, you need knowledge, especially from God's word. You need knowledge from God. I mean, and give you discretion on what to do. Making the right decisions in your life. Making the right, going down the right pathway in your life. I was telling that crowd yesterday, I said, where I came from, where I got saved. And I said, I wanted to know God in a real way. I didn't want somebody to tell me about God. I wanted to know God myself. And I wanted to know that he's real. And I wouldn't want to serve a God that I didn't know that was real. I want to know that he's real. I'm not serving. We took a statue from my father-in-law's house. We still have it, and we're going to shoot it. It's a statue of Buddha, and my wife's going to use it for the missionary ladies' meeting when they have it. And I was just going to take a shotgun and blow his head off, and shoot the head off the thing, and then shoot the arms. The Buddha is a god that's all over Asia that they serve and worship, and they even put food out and thinking that Buddha's going to come by and eat it. Amen. And that's a crazy, crazy religion. And I tell you this, if you're sitting here this morning visiting with us, we don't have religion. We have a relationship. We have a relationship with the Father. And religion, it just makes people more religious. That's all. It makes them more damnable when it comes to knowing God. The people end up religious and they end up in hell because they think because they're religious, they're going to heaven. That's not it. The Bible says a wise man will hear and will increase in learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Growing up, my father, he didn't teach us a lot of wisdom. My father didn't teach me a lot of things. He taught me how to drink, taught me how to fight, taught me how to do bad things and taught me a lot of bad things, but he didn't teach me how to have wisdom and towards God. He didn't teach me, he didn't sit down and read the Bible with us. He didn't tell us to, you know, honor God like that. He didn't believe that. I mean, he just, you know, when I was a baby, put milk in my milk bottle and all that stuff. And my dad didn't teach us all the good things that I wish we would have learned. And here we are in a Christian environment. We got Christian mom and dads here. And I'm you ought to thank God. You ought to thank God this morning that you're raised in a Christian home. Yeah. A lot of kids in a Christian home trying to get out of their Christian home. You ought to thank God for a Christian home. I was raised to live like an animal, a dog. And I'm glad now that my dad got saved. After I got saved, my mom got saved. And all the rest of the family, my nephew got up and said yesterday, he said, Uncle Alan preached to us just like he preached to you just now. I'm glad he said that. You said, were you offended in that? No, I'm glad that he said that because I want him to know that I'm going to stay the same. Loving God, serving God, and telling people how to get to heaven. That's the most important thing there is, knowing God and telling people how to get to heaven. The fear of the Lord is beginning of what knowledge? Look at this. Here you are. Look at the verse. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want knowledge? I mean, in anything. This book can tell you just about anything. And when it comes to that, if it's not in this book, you say, God, show it to me. He will show it to you if you ask him. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. But the Bible says fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you're sitting here this morning, you say, well, I don't want to hear nothing about God. I don't want to hear nothing about Jesus Christ. The guy was sitting out there on the, came in here this morning, and I sat out there on the steps with him. And he told me he got saved a while back. And I said, well, if you don't grow, man, you're not going to understand God. You don't get in that book, you're not going to understand anything. And you don't have wisdom. You don't have understanding. And I said, the devil, he can't get your soul now that you're saved, but he can sure get your life, your wife, your kids, and everything else if you let him. And if you don't have wisdom and instruction from God, it says the fear of the Lord to begin with knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. That was me. That was me. I was me when I was growing up. My son, hear the instruction of thy father. Forsake not the law of thy mother. I mean, it says, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. I mean, don't consent to when they're trying to get you out, go out and do something wrong. I was the guy that always trying to get everybody to do something wrong. I was the guy that antagonized people to do wrong. I did that stuff. You know what? I asked God, forgive me. I went back to people after I got saved and asked them, forgive me for what I did, for the way I was. I said, man, will you forgive me? I'm sorry. I enticed people to do stuff wrong. And the Bible says, don't be enticed by them. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privately for the innocent without a cause. Before I say with robbing people, robbing houses, and stealing, robbing stores, all that stuff, going into D.C., living like hell. And I'm going to tell you something, man. I know what I'm talking about when I say I know about what sinners will try to do. I know what they'll try to mess you up and how to mess you up. I've seen a lot of my friends end up dead and in hell and then men in prison. I got a brother that's got life in prison. I've seen all that stuff. And you know what? Now I'm on the other side. I look back and go, thank you, Lord. Thank you for delivering me from that mess. Amen. Thank you, God, for, man, being so merciful to me. I don't deserve God's mercy. Neither do you. Amen. And the Bible says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come, let us lay wait for blood. Let us look privately for the innocent without a cause. Let us swallow them up alive as a grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Everybody wants to try to get everybody else doing what they're doing. Wouldn't it be a blessing if Christian kids would try to get other lost kids, get them in church? And we see kids in our church doing that, trying to get other kids to come to church, get saved. I mean, man, you can do the reverse on them. And they're trying to get you to go out and live like hell and try to get you to do things that you shouldn't do. What about doing the reverse? Saying, hey, man, I don't want to live like that. I don't want to live like that because I know the end thereof. I know where it ends up. I know it ends up in heartache and sorrow and trouble. And I tell you what, why don't you come to meet my Savior. He'll save your soul from hell and he'll straighten your life out. Give you peace. And it says, let us swallow them up alive, verse 12, alive as the grave and whole as those that go down the pit. My brother that died, this is him right here, Tommy Rutherford. And I remember witnessing him, and he used to say, man, I don't want to hear that stuff. I don't want to hear about Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear that. That's a bunch of crazy stuff. My dad used to say, because we were Methodists, we were going to heaven. That was a lie. My dad said, well, we put a lot of money in that church, had our name on a pew. We're going to heaven because of that. No, that was a lie. I mean, he thought that he could buy his way in. You can't buy your way into heaven. You can't get in there like that. My brother, he's 75 years old. He didn't get saved to his deathbed. 75. I mean, when you think about the kind of life he could have had. His wife divorced him. His kids didn't talk to him. His son got up yesterday to give the eulogy, and he said, me and my dad didn't have a relationship. We didn't talk. I didn't want nothing to do with him. He didn't want nothing to do with me. I was up in New York, and I was talking to a guy named that goes to my son's church, and he was telling me, Samson was telling me the other day, he said, Dad, my car broke down. And he said, and Frank couldn't fix it, this guy in the church. He said, he couldn't fix it. He said, but I know a guy who probably could. And he called the shop, and he said, it was 40 minutes away. And he said, he never told me he had a son. He never said he had a son. Frank used to have an anger problem, he said. He told me that. He said, I had an anger problem. He said, I took it out on my kids. And he said, I was mad at my son because he stole from me. And he was telling me at the table this. He said, I hadn't talked to him for 14 years, and Samson didn't know it either. They go into the shop. He said, told him what was wrong. He said, and he went, hey, son. And Samson stopped and looked and said, that's your son? He said, yes. He said, on the way home, he said, we hadn't talked in 14 years. We haven't talked to each other for 14 years. He said, man. So Frank said to me the other day, we're sitting at the table. He said, you know what? I want to see my son saved. I'm just going to tell my son, I know you stole that money from me, and I know you did that, but I forgive you. I said, don't even do that. Don't do that. He said, what do you mean? He said, it's the truth. I said, yeah, but you tell him you're sorry for the way you were. Amen. You tell him you're sorry for your anger.
That's right.
That'll break the ice in his. He'll end up getting saved.
That's right. Amen.
He started crying, sitting at the table, and he hugged me. He said, thank you, preacher. Thank you. Man, I'm telling you something. God will restore families. God can restore love. He can restore other things. If you'll listen. Get wisdom, get knowledge. He says, we shall find all precious, talking about going out. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Restrain thy foot from their path. He said, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Here's Solomon instructing his son, Rehoboam, trying to tell Rehoboam and others, watch out, look out. I mean, thank God for a dad that would try to warn his children and instruct his kids. You know, that's our duty. I don't want my children hit by a car. I don't want them on drugs. I don't want them out there doing the things that I used to do. Yeah. I don't want them doing that. I want to instruct them. Every father has a duty to instruct their children and teach their children, but not only instruct them. See, I'm going to tell you something. Doing this, telling your kids this, that you better listen to me and not be an example, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
That doesn't work at all. My father would drink beer and whiskey and all that, and I'd do the same thing. My father would tell all kinds of stories. I would do the same thing. Live like he did. I would act like he did. He says, how long, verse 22, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge. Fools hate knowledge. Look at verse 20. It says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the street. She crieth in the chief places of concourse. And to open them the gates in the city, she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scorners delight in scorning. Fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regard. That's God. God stretched out his hand. The Bible says, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. God stretch out his hands day and night. People say, I don't want God. I don't want to hear about him. They don't want to hear about him until they're on their deathbed. They don't want to hear about God when they're, unless they're, you know, going through trouble, or they pray for $1 million and God doesn't give it to them and they get mad. Man, it says, look what the Bible says. Verse 25, ye have set at naught all my counsel. God talking. Ye have set at naught all my counsel with none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your feet cometh at desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, and I will not answer. That's a terrible thing. That's a terrible thing right there. If God says, you call on me, and I won't answer you. I mean, there comes a point in your life that you come to a place of no return. And man, when God gives you an opportunity to come to him, and the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God draws you, and you don't come to him, boy, it's a place of no return. You better call upon him while he's near, the Bible says. You better call upon him. And I'm going to tell you something. The day at night I got saved, I was running from the police, and y'all have heard my story a million times. And I was running from the police, and when he told me there was a former president of Hell's Angels there preaching, I said, take me to him. And that guy showed me from the Bible, even though I couldn't read. And show me from above. I knew the right thing. I knew the words. That's what I was telling them yesterday. You know when somebody's telling you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God. You know it. It rings right when the truth is being told. I can't stand somebody to sit up there and just lie to your face, just tell you a lie, especially a preacher. Especially a preacher. Then they shall call upon me, and I will not answer, but seek me early, and they shall not find me. For that they hate knowledge, and did not choose the fear of the Lord. For they would none of my counsel, and despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own ways. Yeah, but that's a law. There's a law in nature. There's a law in man, in mankind. And the God set is called the law of sowing and reaping. You reap what you sow. And that's a law. It's set. Now, I've asked God not to let me reap all that I've sowed before I was saved. And now I've been saved. I was saved 18 years old. I'm 63. I've been sowing a lot more good than I did bad. Now I'm on the other side. I want to sow good things. The Bible says, therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and prosperity of the fool shall destroy them. And whosoever hearkeneth unto me shall dwell what? Come on now. Well, what? Safely. And shall be quiet from fear of evil. I mean, man, I tell you, walking with the Lord is a benefits to it. Look what in chapter 2 says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasure, then shall thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. And the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. This word right here we got in your hand come from the mouth of God. He'll give you wisdom, knowledge, understanding. And he says, the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment, preserveth the way of his what? Saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment, equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Discretion. Having discretion about the way you should walk in your life, to what things you ought to do. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of evil men, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leaveth the path of uprightness to walk in the path or the ways of darkness, who rejoices to do evil and delighteth in the frowardness of the wicked. I mean, man, day in, day out, you see this on TV, you see it everywhere you go. People delight in doing wrong and wickedness. They brag about it. They use it as a trophy, how what they did and what they said and who they did what to. They use it as a trophy to brag about. Boy, I tell you what, when you stand before God, ain't going to be no bragging there. Ain't going to be none of that. Look at chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, here it is, we got so many young people dying. Drug overdose. For length of days, for long life and peace, they shall add to thee. Man, this generation's coming up now, I mean, they don't want to hear no instruction when it comes to God. They don't want to listen to nobody that has any wisdom when it comes to God and about Jesus Christ. They don't want to hear it. They say, I just don't want no preaching. That's where I was. I told that preacher that night, a friend of mine, they took me to that revival meeting. I said, I don't want to hear no preaching. I don't want to hear no blanky blank preaching. And he said, well, the former president of Hell's Angels preaching. I said, take me to him. I want to hear him. I want to hear what he had to say. And that guy led me to Jesus Christ that night. I couldn't read this book, but I knew this book was right. I knew it was the right thing. It says this. He said, for length of days and long life and peace, they shall add to thee. I've preached so many young people's funerals, and I've seen people go crazy. I've preached funerals where I've had people cuss me out in the middle of the thing. I've had young people stand up and give me the finger while I'm preaching. And I mean, the people overdose on drugs. They got hit drunk driving, all that stuff. Man, you say, where's the wisdom at? Where's the wisdom at? Where's that at? Hundreds of funerals I preached. I stood there crying watching some of the young people. One boy overdosed. His mama found him and laying in his room, overdosed on drugs. He was 18 years old. Man, Ethan just said, I'm 19 years old. And you know why? And Ethan wants to serve God. Boy, what a blessing that is, man. What a blessing. Daddy, I know Brother Mike's and Miss Amy's heart, their heart rejoices over that. And man, to see the kids that want to serve God, want to do what's right. Even though I didn't say they were perfect, but they want to do what's right. They want to honor God. What a blessing that is. They're in church. I wasn't in church, man, at 18 years old. I wasn't in church until I got saved. And I've seen this girl stand up there, remind me of my granddaughter, Tori. This girl stood up there. She looked like sleeping out there, sleeping on the street. And she stand up there, her hair all matted. And she said, you know, Jose, she stood up there high as a kite. She said, Jose was a friend of mine. He'd give his shirt off his back. And she was standing there just swaying back and forth, so messed up. And when I started preaching, right when I started preaching, about 15 of them got them walked out and said, blank you. They don't hear no instruction. I've been there. I've been on the other side. I know what it's like. I know where it ends up. I know how it goes. You ain't going to tell me. I'll tell you. I know better. I worked with a bunch of men. They said, oh, man, we was out last night partying. We had a good time. And man, you know, and they take the money from their kids to go do their drugs. They take the kids, and the kids have to suffer for it. My Lord, man. This generation, my generation, sad shape. I'm glad I got saved. Amen. If I didn't get saved, my children wouldn't be serving God now. My daughters, my grandkids wouldn't be up here singing. My son wouldn't be pastoring. My son-in-law wouldn't be a pastor. Man, I'm glad the Lord gave me a chance.
Amen.
He's giving everybody a chance. Makes no difference who you are. He'll give you a chance. It says this, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. I mean, God, if God gets your heart, I always say this, if God gets your heart, he'll get your whole body. If he gets your heart, and that would be a good prayer, Lord, get a hold of my heart. And I always pray this, God, put the fear of God in me. Give me a tender heart towards you. If God can get your heart, he'll get the rest of it. He's got to get that heart. Look what the Bible says. Now, we'll get to the message here in a minute, but we're just reading some scripture. So shall thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. I worked for a roofing company over in Washington, D.C. And I mean, here I was. I was a thief, a crook. I would steal anything from anybody if I could. And when I got saved and God changed my life, I worked for a roofing company and he handed me a check. And he said, I'm signing this check, Alan. He's this check. Now, don't you lose it. This is worth millions of dollars now. We got millions of dollars in the bank. He said, now, if you see something we need, you buy it. I went out there holding that check thinking, here I was, thief. Before I was saved, I would love to have a check like that.
Yeah.
Before I was saved, nobody would trust me with anything. And if I would have had a check like that, I would have cashed that dude. Man, it would have been, I've been heading down to, Las Vegas somewhere. It says, for thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. You don't want God against you. You don't want God against you, brother. I'd rather have God on my side. Because if I got God on my side, it makes no difference who's against me. If God's on my side, he'd take care of anybody. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. I mean, what wisdom. Solomon's writing this to his son. What wisdom. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Sometimes you might not understand what God's doing, but trust him. You don't understand. Lord, I don't understand. I've said that many times. God, I don't understand what's going on here, but I'm trusting you. You just got to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. Be not wise. Look at here. Next verse. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. Fear the Lord. It shall be health to thy navel, marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance. and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. That's not talking about the old wine and you get drunk. New wine is squeezed out grape juice, Isaiah 64. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. God corrects his children. We come in the 70s, they had a guy named Dr. Spock. And Dr. Spock came out, or 60s or 70s, Dr. Spock came out and said, you'll do your children more harm by correcting them and spanking them. I'm going to tell you something. Dr. Spock never had no children. He never knew how to raise kids. He wrote a book that didn't know how to raise kids. And if he did, they'd all probably be drug addicts. Dr. Spock didn't know how to do it. Now, my dad would beat you. My father didn't believe in a spanking. He believed in a beating. My father did it wrong. And if you're beating the kids, then you're wrong. Spanking the kids. I used to make the biggest mistake. I used to say, when I was in church, I'd say, I got to take my son out and beat him. And people would look at me like, what in the world? Because that's all I knew. I said, I'm going to take him out and beat him. I took him out and spank him. But I had to change my vocabulary. I had to change from beating to spanking. But the Lord corrects his children, and he corrects you with a spanking once in a while, sometimes with words. With my daughter Ruth, my daughter Rachel, Rachel's a little harder than Ruth was. My daughter Rachel, all I'd do is, if I tell her something, she still wouldn't listen. If I had to get a hold of her and spank her. But Ruth, all I'd do is look at her, she'd start crying. But I'll tell you what, kids are different, and we're all different. We're God's children, and God knows how to correct you. God knows how to get a hold of you. Our duties as a father, number one, we need to love them. Love our kids. Love them. If you love them, you sacrifice for them. If you love them. Jacob, the Bible says, Jacob loved Joseph. He loved him. He loved all his kids. And the Bible says in Genesis 37 that Jacob loved Joseph more than the others. And but I tell you what, we want to say in our own heart that we love each other the same. We all love all our kids the same. We want to say that. But a lot of times, the kids love you back and obey you. You love them a little bit more. You show a little more favoritism with them. It's just in us. That's the way it is. But God loves all his children. But he also, those that want to obey him is the ones he spends more time with and fellowships with. And the same way with us. But we're supposed to love our kids. We're supposed to command them about loving. And Joseph was commanded by Jacob. He said, don't you take this, what happened, out on your brothers. And I could never let my kids fight each other. When I grew up, there was a guy named, two Italian boys named Tommy DeFeo and Angelo DeFeo. And their father would sit down and pit the boys against each other and sit in the living room because he liked fighting. And he would sit in the living room and tell them to beat each other half to death. And Tommy kept sticking his thumb in Angelo's eye and trying to gouge his eye out. And Angelo bit his brother's thumb off, and spit it at him. And his father, what happened was one of the boys ended up killing their daddy. They killed their daddy. And I never let my kids fight each other. I grew up, before I was 18, I grew up and I seen all this stuff in people's lives and seen all this stuff in the neighborhood and seen the way people did and then all that stuff. And I made up my mind after that. I said, I'm not going to live like that. Even though if I didn't get saved, I would probably have been like that. But when God saved me, changed my life, I said, I ain't going to let my kids fight each other. I don't let my grandkids fight each other. I said, you're supposed to love each other. You help each other. You're supposed to strengthen each other. I never let them fight each other. But you're supposed to command your kids how to live, and not only command them, but live in front of them in the way you ought to live. We're supposed to instruct them. Take your Bible, looking up Proverbs chapter 23. All right, Proverbs chapter 23. We're supposed to instruct them. Proverbs chapter 23 and 22. Look at verse 21. For drunkards and gluttons shall come to poverty. Drowsiness shall clothe a man with rags. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad. She that bare thee shall rejoice. My son, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. Notice that? Being also example. A whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. She also lieth in wait as for prey, and increased the transgressions among men. Who have woe, who have sorrow, who hath contentions, who have babblings, who have wounds without a cause, who hath redness of the eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek and mix wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At last it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. You never notice guys go to the bar and try to find them a woman. Find her, she's drinking. They always say if a woman will smoke, she'll drink. If she'll drink, she'll do anything. I mean, man, you're supposed to guide your children. You're supposed to warn them. You're supposed to instruct them. You're supposed to rebuke them. Jacob rebuked his two sons, Simon and Levi. I mean, he rebuked them and told them. But there was a guy in the Bible that wouldn't restrain his son. Take your Bible, look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 3. See, the Bible pulls no punches. It tells you the truth, man. And it tells about the family history. It tells about the heritage of a family. And you can trace things back. And boy, I tell you what, God doesn't hide anything. He'll tell you the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help him God. He'll tell you the truth. And I've had people tell me, you know, this and that, but I've seen the end thereof. I'm 63 years old. I've been around, Brother Squeaky, been around long enough, Brother John, other men in this church, been around long enough to see, and Brother Ron, be able to see what happens to people when they disobey God and when they don't live for God. I know what's going to happen. It's just when. Just when. When is it going to go down? Fools despise instruction. Fools hate knowledge. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to listen to it. They're going to do what they want to do. Ain't nobody going to. You ever hear this? Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I'm my own man. You're a fool. You're a fool. Fools despise instruction. 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time that Eli was laid down in his place. His eyes began to wax dim, and he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out. That's sad when you hear the lamp of God goes out. In the temple of the Lord. And when the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. And the Lord said unto Samuel, God used a little boy that end up coming there. Samuel was dedicated to God by his mother, Hannah. She was dedicated, and she said, God, if you give me a man child, if you give me a child, I'll dedicate him back to you. She gave him back. That's where we, now, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to dedicate some babies. We dedicate the babies to God. And the families are saying, I'm going to raise my child for the Lord, and I'm going to be an example in front of them. Nobody bats 1,000. Nobody's perfect, but you can sure try. It says the lamp of God went out in the temple. Look at verse 4. And the Lord called Samuel and said and answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I. He thought, Samuel as a young boy thought Eli was calling him. He was the priest. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I. Thou callest me. And he said, I called not. Lie down again. And he went and laid down. And the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. He answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not know the Lord. See that? Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord said unto Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. God calls little children. And you know what God did? That old man, 90 years old, God took that little boy to tell him what was going to happen to him. God was pronouncing judgment on that old man. Because that old man wouldn't do what God told him to do. He used a little boy. You know, isn't it something how little kids can rebuke you? They can say stuff to you. I've had my children say stuff to me. My dad one time was smoking. I told my dad about smoking cigars. And my dad would say, oh, and Samson wanted to go with us. It was in my old dump truck. I still got my dad's old dump truck at the house. We're riding down the road. Y'all have heard this story. And my dad was smoking a cigar, and Samson's sitting there looking at him. And he says, what are you looking at, boy? He said, Pop-Pop, that's bad. That's bad. And my father looked over at me and said, I told you we ought to leave that boy home. I said, Dad, I've been training him right. I said, Dad, you know I'm trying to train my children right. I wasn't raised right, Dad. But I'm trying to train them right. And my dad said, yeah, I know. I said, Dad, put the cigar out. He didn't want to put it out. He stuck it out the window. And Samson's sitting there, and he looks up, and he goes, Pop-Pop, that's bad. I said, Dad, why don't you just put it out? He said, sit down, boy. He started yelling at him. And I said, Dad, he ain't going to stop until you put it out. Because I used to take papers and show him cigarettes are bad. Drinking is bad. Why? I wasn't raised that way. I was drinking. I was smoking. I was doing all that stuff. I would tear it up and throw it on the floor like Jack Howell's mother did. I did that with Samson and stomp on him. And finally, my dad said, all right, I'll put it out. And he put it out on the side of the truck and stuck it in his pocket. He thought it was out. We're riding down the road. And Samson goes, Papa. He goes, what? He said, your shirt's on fire. He goes, ah. Trying to instruct him. And the Lord called yet again. Look at verse 8. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and laid down into his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as other times. Notice that God stood there beside him. He says, Samuel, Samuel. And then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of every one that heareth shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. God said, when I start it, I ain't quitting. It's going to end here with him. People, you know, folks, I look around, a lot of Christians don't have fear of God in them. They think they can just push God and push God and push God and push him and push him and push him and say, you ain't telling me what to do. I live my life the way I want to, even though you paid my sin debt, even though you did that, and you keep pushing him. One day God's going to push back. And when he pushes back, it ain't going to be pretty. The fear of the Lord begins in wisdom, knowledge, understanding. You know what? Pray for the fear of God. Look here. Look on down. Talk about tingling. In that day, I will perform against Eli all the things I have spoken concerning the house. When I begin, I will make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. God said, I told him, he wouldn't do nothing about it. Therefore, I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. God said he can offer all he wants to. He can do all he wants. Ain't going to change it. Ain't going to change nothing. Daddies, you have a duty. You have a duty. You have a duty to be an example, raise that child right, and tell them where they're wrong. If they don't listen, then you pray, God protect them. God, get a hold of their heart. They won't listen. When Josh was out, when Josh wasn't living right, me and my wife would cry and beg God for it. She said, did God answer prayer? I've seen God answer prayer. My daughters, my other son, Mike, my son-in-law, they're all praying, begging God for him. Get a hold of his heart. Because I know what's going to happen. You're out doing the things that you belong to God. You're doing things you shouldn't do. It's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time. God chastens whom he loves. And if you're just a child, he'll chasten you. The Bible tells us about fathers. We need to love them, love our children. We need to command them. We need to instruct them. We need to guide them. We need to train them. We need at times to rebuke them. At times, we need to punish them. Like I said, Dr. Spock came out and said, you can't spank your child. Now, there's a right way of doing it, and there's a wrong way of doing it. Spanking your child. And once they get to a certain age, their character is already made. You can do all the spanking you want. It ain't going to change nothing unless God changes their heart. And that's the same way with the child of God. You get to a certain age. God's children. God said, I'll take care of you. I'll nourish you. I'll provide for you. I supply your needs. I'll meet your needs. And I'll have favor with God and man. You don't do it, it's on you. Take your Bible, look at the last place, Ephesians 6. A lot of folks don't come on Mother's Day or Father's Day because they know they're going to get a message. They're going to get a message on mamas and on daddies. Mother's Day, we didn't have a message on mamas because I've been here 32 years. I preached messages on mamas and I preach messages on daddies, what a daddy ought to be. And the Bible tells us what we're supposed to do, duties as a father to our children, what the children ought to do to their fathers. And the Bible says children are a blessing, and it says it blesses a man to have his quiver full. And there's nothing wrong with having kids. I know before when I got saved, my wife and I got married, we wanted to have children. I was scared to death. Before I was saved, I said, I don't want no kids. I don't want none. And you got some fathers, I say fathers, they're men. They have children. They're all spread all over the place. Somebody else is taking care of them. And they're not really a father. They're letting some other man provide for them, or the mother has to go out of the house and work and provide for the kid. And the kids, but I found the kids that have a father at the house that loves them and raises them right, usually those kids, even though they might go astray for a little while, they might go astray, but God will bring them back. Why? Because they got an example. If they have an example they can look to, a good example, God will bring them back. He promises that. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, and not depart from it. Look at this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Honor them, not just with words, but the way you live. You honor your mom and dad the way you live. If your mom and dad saved, loves God, you honor them by you honoring God. And honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. We read that a little while ago. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Said, have you ever provoked your children to wrath? Yes, I have. I was wrong. My son Josh was telling my daughters when he was out, he said, Dad didn't do baseball games. Dad didn't do this. Dad didn't do that. He was always working and the church was first and all that stuff. And he was complaining to him. And I pulled in the driveway. I didn't know that was going on. I pulled in the driveway and Becky was sitting in the truck with him. And I walked out and the grandkids were following me. And she said, look, my children, Rachel's children, they're following the granddaddy. She said, that's what I want. And Josh was, when they told me that he had said that, I called him in my room. I didn't rebuke him. I didn't say, you sorry son, you. I got on my knees and asked him to forgive me. That I didn't fulfill what he wanted me to fulfill in his life. And I was on my knees crying and said, forgive me. He got sitting on the bed. He reached down, picked me up. He said, Dad, you ain't got nothing to say you're sorry about. He says, if anybody's got something to say, it's me. I'm sorry. But I said, son, I couldn't play ball with you, have games because I had so much other stuff going on. But I wasn't too proud to admit that I was wrong. It's good to play ball with the kids. It's good to do things with the kids. But I'll tell you what, the best thing you could ever do is teach your children how to love God, how to follow God, how to read their Bible. Not say, you better read your Bible, kid. You do it. You show them. You read your Bible. And say, hey, let me show you something from the Word of God, something that God showed me. You be the example. Make God, the things of God, more important than the things of this world. Let them see that the things of God is more important than the things of this world. All these other things are great. It's good. Have fun with the kids. Just teach the kids. But you better show that God's number one first in your life. That's a great example. Putting God first. That Bible says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. First commandment, with promise. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. You do that right thing, God, everything else falls in place. Mama will fall in place. The kids will fall in place. Everything will fall right in place. She says, how do you know? I've seen it work. Put God first. It says, you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I mean, nurture them in the Lord. Admonition of the Lord. If you don't think serving God is important, passing out tracts, winning people to Jesus Christ is important, then the kids ain't going to think it's important. The Word of God, serving the Lord, singing praises to Him, they ought to see you doing that. They ought to hear you, not being phony, not being a fake, being real. That will make the biggest impact in their life. My father made a big impact in my life when he was drinking, fighting, going to bars, a big impact. I got into drugs, dealing drugs, stealing. My father taught me how to steal. What do you want your kids to, how do you want them to come out? And then the next generation after that, your kid's going to be raising kids. How are they going to feel? People say, I don't want to go to church. I don't want nothing to do with God. You're going to have a heathen heritage of kids. You better put the Lord first. Fathers, you have a duty. We have a duty. We have a real duty to train our children, love them. I know some guys will go overboard and start trying to abuse the kids and say stuff to the kids and do stuff like that. Now, I'm not talking about that. I asked my son Samson. They went up to this ladies' meeting, my wife and Miss Holly. I asked my son Samson. He was telling me about some preachers that he knew. I said, son, tell me the truth. Was I ever abusive, overruling to you? We're sitting at the table, and he said, Daddy, and my kids are here now. He said, Daddy, nope. He said, we had fun. We rejoiced together. We prayed together. We sang together. He said, I had a good childhood. He said, because you put God first. I'm going to tell you something. That's something they'll always remember. You put the Lord first. Why? It's going to benefit them. And it's going to benefit the generations to come, the Lord tarries. Daddies, do your duty. We're not saying it's perfect. Everybody has flaws. You need to work on. You say, if you know your flaw, then you need to work on. Say, God, help me. I want to be a better daddy. I want to be a better grandfather. I want to be a better son to my Father in heaven. Lord, thank you, God, this morning for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I pray, God, help the daddies here today, God, have a good day.